headphones. Am I not on? Keep talking. There I am. Yes, the conference was great. It was great. And when Julie shared about Maria and, you know, gave the meeting an update, I'm over there in the corner. I'm a blubber and mess. And I'm still a blubber and mess. It's just below the surface, let me tell you. It's just... And afterwards, you know, the Peter Frogley, who was leading the meeting, says, "Paul, do you want to add anything?" "Oh, I can't add anything to that." It was a mess. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And the young blokes that got up to share, you know, the young guns who just gave words that were... I didn't go for 20 more sermons, you know, which is what happens at conferences. I went for an encounter with God. I said, "God, I'm okay with the sermons, but I want an encounter with you." And I think I got it, really. I'm still getting it, you know. But yeah, these young guys, just they were really, really good. And at some point or other in the near future, I think those messages are going to be posted on BMI Facebook page of some description. And so, you know, we'll be able to access them down the track. But it was a great time of fellowship. Jane and I spent some time with a couple from Uruguay who speak Spanish, and they have a Spanish Pentecostal church in Sydney. And he speaks fairly good English. She speaks hardly any. And so he was interpreting the messages for her as the messages went on. And then we sat at lunch and you know, spent a couple of hours with them, and it was the testimony of these guys, and God spoke to them and to come to Australia, and they sold up everything with three kids and just came to Australia with absolutely nothing on a 30-day visa. And they're still here 15 years later ministering and worshipping and they've got a, you know, and God worked through all of that to get them a permanent visa, and, you know, wow. We're just looking at each other, wow. He says, "I've only told you half of it." And at some point or other, it would be just fantastic to get a hold of that guy and say, "Tell us what happened." It'd blow you away. And to meet with all the other guys, and, ah, fantastic. Thank you, Lord. I'm stoked. I'm stirred up. Elizabeth's word this morning, as she was sharing, I had this picture, and it was like a stove and a pot steaming on the stove. But if you turn the fire out, the steaming stops. And so I'm sitting there thinking, God, stoke the fire in us. Stoke the fire in us. We want to be bubbling, the Holy Spirit bubbling out of us. And Joel, rivers of living water. What did we pray? He wasn't in the room, was he? What did we pray out there this morning? Rivers of living water flowing through us. It's like God's in this. So here we are this morning. The redeemed in front of the Redeemer. The healed coming to the healer. The delivered worshipping the deliverer. The Christian before the Christ. The called before the one doing the calling. The once blind now seeing. The ignorant before the teacher. The lost sheep before the shepherd. The once dead, now alive to Christ. The saved, bowing before our Saviour. The dry bones of our lives being restored. Let's pray. God, you know. Holy Spirit, you know that I've earnestly desired this time together. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and attend the word of God this morning. as we bring it. That you would bless this man, this speaker, even though he has so many faults and he's not the greatest orator that ever lived at all, by a long shot. He's just a yobbo. But attend your word in him, I pray, and let it be light and salt and flame and breath of life as we come around the sharing of your word. I yield myself afresh to you, Jesus, and I ask for your help to deliver this message in such a way that those sitting in the room hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message, Come, O Breath of God. It comes out of my favourite passage of Scripture from Ezekiel 37. We'll go there in a minute. But you know, Christian scientists don't believe that the Holy Spirit exists. Spiritualism says there's no Holy Spirit. JWs or Russellism believe that it's an influence or a power exercised by God, but it's not personal. Mormons say that would say that the Holy Spirit is this ethereal substance spread throughout space. And there's only one way you can get hold of this Holy Spirit, when it's conferred on you by a Mormon priest through the laying on of hands. That's how they see it. We, on the other hand, believe in a triune God, in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. For example, go to Matthew 28 and have a look there. Go make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There we have it, a triune God. Now, funnily enough, again, Joel, well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And this picture is a picture that I had of taking threads. You know, you ever seen a loom working? Takes a thread from here and a thread from there and a thread from here and a thread from there, and they sort of knit them and mould them and weave them together to make a yarn, which is then made into a garment or whatever it might be. But the picture I had was this thing, loom turning and these threads coming in from all different places. And I hope that's what I paint for you today, a picture of threads coming together so that we can see that we are part of a bigger picture. Such a big picture. And if I get nothing across to you today apart from that, that I get that across to you. That this is a big picture that we're talking about. We are part of something huge, enormous, supernatural, wonderful, marvelous, eternal, ongoing. Genesis 1:2, we encounter the Holy Spirit in the sacred writings for the first time. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The word used there today is Raha. Can you believe that? I thought, he's stealing everything I prepared. No, he's not. He's confirming everything I prepared. Without any intervention from me or you or anyone, he wasn't even out in the prayer room, and he's got it all there happening in the communion message, started to at least. Threads coming from here and there and there and there and knitting together. That's why it's so important when we have that open time where, you know, what's the Spirit of God saying to you? Threads. Your thread, her thread, and God wraps them together somehow in the way that only he can wrap them together. Can I have some water? Because I'm getting into it here. There's a fair chance I'll lose my way in the notes. I'm just telling you. this picture of the Holy Spirit hovering, like, and we'll see some more versions of that as we go through the scriptures, brooding over the face of the deep, brooding over the darkness, like wind, ruha, breath, wind, you know, over the darkness, anticipating God's creation, and, you know, animating God's creation. When God spoke, it all began to happen. The sense of brooding, the sense of the wings of God, the sense of waiting on the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, waiting for God to speak. Do you know what we believe, the truth that we believe in our lives, actually dictates how we think and how we act? And I'm going to come back to that thought a little bit later. Let's go to Exodus 35 and verse 30. And I want you to get a hold of this. This is really, really good. Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." A fairly specific calling, you could say. "And he has filled him with what? The Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and in all manner of work and workmanship, artistic workmanship." Now listen, you can have this. You can have this. The Holy Spirit breathing life over your skills, over your abilities, over the things that you've set your heart to do. You can have this. Here's Bezalel. He probably was a great artisan already. But God said, "I have put my Spirit on him to enhance the gifts that are in his life." And isn't that what God does to us anyway? So if you're a nurse or a doctor or a post hole digger or a guardrail installer or a tree cutter or a coal miner or a mum or a dad or a God can anoint that, and you become more because he's touching that. And you can ask for that. I don't know if you ever have, but if you haven't, get a hold of that this morning. You can ask for that because God has done it for Bezalel. He did it, and this is Old Testament. This is not, you know, indwelling Holy Spirit. This is Old Testament stuff where the Spirit of God says, "I'm going to anoint him and those gifts that he's got to be all that he can be for my sake, for the building of the temple." Are you getting that? So God can take bring anointing, Holy Spirit anointing into this temple for his temple's sake. Let it sink in. Selah. Just let it sink in. If you have never asked for it, just close your eyes right now and ask. Thank you, Lord. Anoint us with fresh oil. Come, O breath of God. Come, O breath of God. If all you're being today is a grandma, come, O breath of God. If all you're being today is a granddad, come, O breath of God. If all you're being today is a friend, come, O breath of God. If you're being the pastor, come, O breath of God. Breathe on me afresh. If all you're being today is someone who cares for somebody else, come, O breath of God, and and anoint that, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. And now to my favourite passage of Scripture, Ezekiel 37. You all know the dry bones passage. I'm going to read it again because maybe you don't. We need to hear it. And the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, God, I answered, only you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will put ruach into you. I will put breath into you, and and you shall live, and I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath into you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 9 also said to me, prophesy to the breath. Some people think that you shouldn't pray to the Holy Spirit. Some people think you should not ask for the Holy Spirit like that. I've heard people say that. But here it says, prophesy, call, speak out to the breath and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Oh, look, this is my favorite passage of Scripture. If you ask me, I just, every prayer meeting, practically, I say, come, O breath of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and breathe on us. Calling the breath of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, inspiring the Word of God, says to the prophet, call the Holy Spirit. From the four winds of the earth, call the Holy Spirit to come. So by the Spirit, call the Spirit. Whew. Now a better way of saying that would be, not call, but welcome. Welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Welcome him in. Make room for him. Make room in your life. And we're reminded again by this Ezekiel 37 dry bones passage of the image of creation that we saw in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. There it is again, that whole concept of the thread from the breath of life coming through Adam and and further down through the time into Ezekiel and Ezekiel's vision. Prophesy to the breath and speak life over something. Lack of breath, lack of spirit equals death. Does it not? How do you know when someone has died? They stop breathing. That's a pretty good indication. I've seen it happen. I've been with people as it happened. It's what happens. And we all know that. Lack of breath equals lack of life. And God does not want us to live a lifeless life. He wants to bring breath to our lives. Breathe fresh in our hearts. Breathe fresh in our spirit. And we see Ezekiel, God calls dead things to come to life. For what purpose? To declare the kingdom of God. God working out his plan to establish his kingdom on the face of the earth, just like he did in Genesis when the Spirit of God breathed over the waters. In Ezekiel 37 and verse 14, he says, I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And Joel said again, he used the term, in that space. Now, he was talking about sitting in a garden, you know, coming to the space of God where he envisions the sitting in the garden with God. But there is a place in your space. I will place you in your own land. You see, we're different. Thank you, Jesus. I am not a Joel. I'm not Andy. I'm not Graham. I'm not any of those people. I'm me. Uniquely me, thank you, Jesus, somebody said. And God places us in our own space, in our own land, in the place where we thrive, in the place where we have the most impact. And he brings the threads of our lives together, and he breathes on them, and he sets us out to do it, and he never stops breathing on them. I'm not the same person I was when I started this journey, which is probably just as well. So God spoke, but Ezekiel's voice was used. Is that not true? He says that God spoke over the things. God declares, I spoke over them, and I have spoken over these dead bones. But he used Ezekiel's voice to do it. Hello. Whose voice is he going to use here? Our voice, my voice, your voice. He will speak God's word in my heart is same as God's word in his heart. God's word in my mouth is the same as God's word in his mouth. And who spoke? Ezekiel spoke. Ah, hello. No, I could never do that, Paul. Rubbish! Of course you can. You just got to believe it and you'll act on it. That's what I said at the beginning. You know, we act on what we believe. And can you believe that Ruah, the breath of God, can come to our lives? And he can use us to speak into situations. He can use us to speak life where there was death, where there's dryness and where there's dry bones, and it doesn't look like anything good could come of that. And God says, well, yeah, well, speak it. Speak it as if I'm speaking over it. Because when I speak, I'm going to speak life over those things. Be an Ezekiel, inviting, welcoming the breath of God to come onto those situations. In fact, as I said before, God invited him to invite the Spirit. Come on, Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Tell the breath to come. Invite the Holy Spirit into your house, into your marriage, into your family, into your workplace, into your children, into your grandchildren, into your town, into your shire, into your country, into your state, into your sphere of influence. Invite him to come. Amen. Selah. Okay, let's move forward into the New Testament. Luke chapter 3. And the Holy Spirit, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, hello, like a dove. Here we see that same concept of the very beginning where the Holy Spirit hovered or waited over the darkness like a dove, and a voice from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Again, that picture of the Holy Spirit hovering or overshadowing like a bird with wings. And in this case, and we read it further in Mark chapter 1, the Trinity is revealed in that same passage. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Father, Son, and Spirit again. Are you beginning to see that there is a thread here, a bigger picture that unfolds? We're talking thousands of years. The unfolding of this thread, the unfolding of the Holy Spirit and his purposes, and the unfolding of the Holy Spirit and how he works into the lives of the generations as they come down. It's a bigger picture. Possibly we've never seen it as big as that before. But I want you to see it today, or at least get an inkling of it. Whoa, we're in something bigger than ourselves. And then John 3:5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John 20:22, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. That same picture of wind, of breath, hovering over these new disciples who were going to take this temple of God in and create a new kingdom, speak into a new kingdom. Here's a clue. Now, just imagine you're one of the disciples in this place, and Jesus is there talking, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. Now, what's their response? I would think, hallelujah. He exhaled, we inhale. Hallelujah. Have you got that? That's how you breathe. Isn't it? So if God is exhaling over you, I'm going, oh God, more of that. I don't have to come and lay hands on you and slap you around. You know, get hold of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to do that. I'd like to, but I don't have to. I can just stand here, and we might even try this a bit after. God, breathe on us. Take that in. I want to take that in. And we make something spiritual, I guess, out of a natural function, but he breathed on them. He exhaled. Quite possibly they inhaled. "Go and walk among them just like I, God, have walked among you," is pretty much what Jesus is saying there. "Go and walk among them like I, Joel, walked with Adam in the garden." Just like that. Be me in your space. Just like I walked with Adam in Eden. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "Lord, is this time for the kingdom?" And Jesus points them towards becoming his witnesses. "Do you not know," he said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the breath of God, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now watch this. Acts chapter 2. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come," what does that mean? Do you know that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, there was a day appointed for the Spirit of God to indwell man like never before? And that day was this day of Pentecost. this day of the Feast of Weeks. Now, I want to just take you back a little and just pull the thread out. Before that was the first Feast of First Fruits. And this, you know, First Fruits was the beginning of harvest time. It was about the time of the Passover. Take the time of the Passover festival. The Feast of First Fruits. And the scriptures tell us, Paul tells us, that Jesus, the firstborn from among the dead, he is the first fruits. Whoa! How good is that? The beginning of the harvest. And then we come 50 days later, which is what Pentecost means, 50. 50 days later, the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, where the harvest has been reaped and been reaping in. And this is an anticipated harvest where God pours out His Spirit and begins the harvest of a new kingdom. And on that very day, to start with, just 120. Woo! Someone turned up the fire. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they went out. And Peter, and I think it was even that afternoon, Peter gets up and starts to preach, empowered by God. And the harvest began to be reaped. 3,000 in that afternoon. That's pretty good. The Feast of Weeks had begun. And it's still going. The harvest has started. Can you see that thread coming through? I mean, this day was a day anticipated by all of creation. Can you imagine the millions of angels in heaven? Today, it's happening today. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God poured out. Do you know you are more likely to encounter an angel than you are a devil? Don't the scriptures say that only a third left in rebellion from heaven? So there's two-thirds of the angelic hosts. And if you do your sums from Revelations, we're talking probably 400 million. You're more likely to encounter an angel than you are a demon. Get that into you. How good's that? And I dare say, if I asked the question, there'd be people in here who could tell me angel stories where God showed up and an angel or a ministering spirit came and did something in your in purpose, and you, maybe you recognized it, maybe you didn't. Hello. It's quite possible. There are angels listening to this. Come on. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, a breath, a mighty rushing breath from God. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can you imagine the excitement of heaven on that day? Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat on each one of them, just like the column of fire over God's people in the wilderness. It designated, these are my people. And it was seen for miles, this fire of God over His congregation of people in the desert, in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus. It proclaimed God's favorites, God's blessed. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the breath or spirit gave them utterance. Come on. So here we are. at the inauguration of a new temple of the Holy Spirit, which we understand, according to the Scripture, is us. Don't you know that you were bought by God for a purpose? Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? God's dwelling place with man, we're talking about. God's dwelling place with mankind. That's us. And God descended on that temple, on those men and women gathered there with fire that day to signify exactly that. He was present with them. That's what the fire over the tabernacle meant. I am present with you here. Come, O breath of God. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on us. He is here to make for himself, or create for himself, a habitation for God to dwell amongst his people. And he gave us gifts for that very purpose. It goes on in Corinthians to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Not for your benefit. Well, they're great, but they're not for you as such. They're for the lost and for the dry and for the thirsty and the hungry and the hellbound. That's what the gifts are for. So you can take this breath that he's given us and if you like, breathe it out, if you want to use that metaphor, in our areas of influence. And whether we're gathering as a church, or whether we're gathering out in the street, or whether we're taking it, walking into the countryside, those gifts are given so that the darkness, like the darkness of Genesis, the world around us will come to see that there is a kingdom that belongs to God, the dwelling place of God. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on us. You know, what you believe will dictate to you how you act. If you believe this, it will change the way you act. It will change how you speak. It will change how you behave. It will change your viewpoint. It will change, you know. Ephesians 5:18, I'm going to finish with this. Let's stand together. Can we read this out? Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the breath. Now, in the Greek, that be filled is called present tense continuous. Not just be filled, but be ye being continually filled. That's how it says it. So, you may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit one day. You may well have got the gift of tongues one day. Or maybe you haven't. And if you haven't, I'm happy to pray with you this morning. In fact, I want to pray with you this morning. But be ye being continually filled. I want to speak over us this morning, breath of God. Is that all right? Is that all right that we lift our hearts to God? I'm going to go up here a bit and do it. Is that all right? We're just going to come on. Just come before God. Perhaps while you're in that place, just inhale. Just take in the breath of God. Because I'm going to ask God to come by his breath this morning to breathe over us afresh. Holy Spirit, I prophesy to the breath. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on us afresh. Fill us again. Fill us anew or perhaps even fill us for the first time with the breath of God. Baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit, that we might be your witnesses, that we might be your temple, that we might be your hands and feet to our dying and dry and lost and dark world. Come, O breath of God. Let's just wait on him for a moment. Come, O breath of God. Yes, Jesus. Some of you just need to say yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. He's been weaving a pattern this morning for you. He's been weaving a few lines to come together this morning for you. And he's calling you afresh. Oh, there's always more in God. Never be satisfied with what you have. Just push into him. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on me afresh. Attend to your word this morning, is what I prayed. Attend to your word this morning, God. Move amongst us by your Spirit. Move amongst us by your angelic hosts. Move amongst us by those ministering spirits sent from God. And touch us afresh. Break out in our lives, Lord, we pray. Oh, amen. Amen. There's a scripture that's been on my heart the last couple of weeks, months. It's when John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and they watch what's happening. And it's in Luke chapter 7. And they say to Jesus, "Jesus, John wants to know, are you the one or should we look for somebody else? Are you really the Messiah or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus' reply goes like this, "Go and tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." That's what a service is supposed to look like. That's what our church is supposed to look like. That we are safe places. There's deaf people out there. I'm not talking just physical deafness. I'm talking about deaf to the things of God. There's blind people out there that can't see, won't see, want to see but can't. And they are real blind people, and there's blind people who just won't see what God is doing. And our society doesn't have many lepers in it. Well, yes, it does. The addicts, the traumatized, the damaged and the hurt, who live their lives in confusion and doubt and all sorts of... It's like outcasts of our society. Our society has leprosy. It may not be, you know, scabby sore things, but it's true. And there's lame people, people that can't walk or don't walk or don't want to walk. So all of those things are true for our church. All of those things are true for our lives. All of those things are true for our society. And dead are all around us, dead to the things of God, mocking God. Oh God, come. Come by your Holy Spirit. Let us be preachers of the gospel of Jesus. That we preach the gospel and perhaps even use words when we do. Thank you, Lord. If you want prayer this morning, I'm happy to pray with you, look forward to praying with you, want to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you've heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you've heard about this breathing of God, but never experienced it, why don't you come and I'll pray with you. And we'll just ask God together for a fresh outpouring of His Spirit over your life. I remember, and this is just a funny little story. I remember when I first came to Jesus, the next day I'd gone to this meeting with my brother, and all the crazies in the world had gathered at Berry Showground. It was an AOG Easter rally. And it was the first experience I ever had of Pentecostals. And I thought, these are a bunch of nutters. They really are. They were singing and waving hands and happy clappy and dancing. Oh, God, get me out of here. I'm a good Catholic boy. Had never seen it. Never knew. I didn't know what it was about. Anyway, the preacher preached, who happened to be Frank Houston that day. And he says, "Is anyone here today wants a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit?" Well, I'm a good Catholic boy. I know that when the bishop laid hands on me and at confirmation, that's what's supposed to happen. The Holy Spirit is in power. I had the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced of it. So to go forward to get a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit was nothing. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? And so I off up the middle, up to the front of the church, well, the building, it was in the hall. And Jane had taken one of our kids out to the toilet, and she comes back in and she says, "Where's Paul?" And my brother said, "He's up the front. What you doing up there?" I said, "Oh, God." She said, I didn't have time to warn him what was going to happen. Well, Frank starts praying. There's about 10 people here and about 10 people there, and I'm in the middle, dead set in the middle. I wanted an escape route, you know. And he prays for this first guy, and he falls over and starts to cry. Like, that can't be good. And then he prays for the next one, and he falls over and starts to cry. I'm getting really touchy by this time. I'm thinking, God help me, what's going to happen here? What's going on? And he got to the third one, and exactly the same thing happened. There's about three or four to go before he gets to me. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. And I thought, oh, God, I'm in trouble. And I made a bargain with God right there and then. I said, God, if you embarrass me, I will never come into a place like this again, ever. But I was too scared to run. And so I stayed there to cop it. And he got to me. He looked at me. He must have seen I was like a pork chop in a synagogue. You know, I was really, really nervous. Oh, I was really, really nervous. Like, you know, what the hell's going to happen here? I'm in trouble. Oh, you know, help, get out, panic, you know, alarm. And he looked at me and he came up to me and he prayed to me in his funny language. And then he started to laugh his head off. He thought it was the greatest joke since sliced bread. And he just kept going. And I didn't fall over and I didn't cry. But jeez, I turned and ran. I turned and ran. I've never been the same since. Now, I didn't break out in tongues that day. That came along a little bit later. But God was real. Suddenly, God was real. So real. And you've probably heard this story, but it's worth telling again and again and again. We're driving an old HK Holden bench seat, you know, column shift. And we're going up Camberwarra Mountain after Nowra. And there's two kids in the back and Jane sitting beside me over on the other side of the seat. Going up the mountain. And Jesus came and sat in the car with me. That's how real it was. So real that I said, "Jesus, that's Jane. Jane, that's Jesus." And Jane says, "This guy has lost it." this guy has gone nutty. He's cracked. He's psycho. He's out of it. He's seeing Jesus. And I did. And I've never been the same. I've never been the same. Like I said, I didn't talk in tongues straight up, but something changed in me. I became a different man, completely different. So much so that when I came home, now I was an angry young man, an angry young man. I controlled Jane, I controlled our house, I controlled our kids. And I'd sooner fight you than feed you. I loved to fight. I played football so I could snot someone legally. I loved to fight. It was in me. It was part of me. And it wasn't good until the blood started to flow. I loved it. And I came home from that meeting a changed man. Gentle. At ease. At peace. And people would come around and say, "What has happened to Paul? He's not arguing with me. He's not like he was. What happened?" And we'd tell him the story, and people began to get saved all around us. Why don't you come this morning? If you, you know, I'm not saying you have to come up here and say yabba dabba do. I'm just saying, look, let God touch you afresh. I could even lead you in a very spiritual phrase that would get you talking in tongues in no time. I bought a Kia, I should have bought a Honda. You know, that's a good one. Or I bought a Honda, I should have bought a Kia. You know, that's close. You could go with that. But come, I'm going to close the meeting. If you want prayer, please come and let's pray together and let's ask God to impart his breath to you afresh and anoint you with fresh oil and let God do something grand in your life afresh today. Amen. Do you want to close the meeting or have I done it? Oh, okay, just do that. Thank you. Thank you. If you want prayer this morning,